Welcome back. Hey, this is Thursday, about to say Wednesday, Thursday edition of Levels, your combat sports podcast live show. We had been on track break. I call it track break.
Yes.
You know, if you were in a 12-month school, you'd be out like on certain tracks. But welcome back to this season. And we are going to be introducing you to some new folks along the way, in addition to the champions and well-known names in and around the world of combat sports that we normally do. I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista. And on Thursdays, my partner in time is the Ralph Velez.
How you doing? Welcome back, everybody. And I'm so glad to be back. It's been a well-deserved break. We have been both grinding 100%, you with the UFC and your articles, killing it as always, showing up in them red dresses to the UFC, stunting on all of them, and then me just grinding. We are and right now just trying to gather everything back together. All the shows are back. Got a chance to announce some shows, and we did some PBC shows. And got to go to Florida, so we are, man, I'm ready
to get fight cool. Season. It's strap season, y'all.
It is. So I'm excited about our show, though. We have someone who I've been hearing a lot about, and our boy Mario Serrano, which is good friends of the show, said, hey, man, this guy's a can't-miss prospect. So, CC, you can start explaining what we're doing here and go ahead and introduce him.
We have Ty Tomlin, and Ty is from Nashville. And when you actually get a chance to hear him speak, you understand that without a doubt, he is definitely from Nashville. He's going to be making his, not debut. He will be on the undercard of, his, friend, Caleb Plant, who y'all have heard a little bit about, is going to be fighting Canelo in a couple of weeks here. So without further ado, Ty Tomlin, welcome to the show. Hey, you on, man?
Hey, what's going on?
There's like a little bit of a lag.
I can see
your face and we don't hear you.
There it is.
It's because you're in the woods somewhere in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, we're out here in the sticks for sure. Sure, but looks like we got it going now, so that's good.
Yes, sir.
Undefeated lightweight from Caleb Plant's hometown. How are you feeling about actually getting a wider audience to get to see you on the Caleb Canelo undercard?
Now, I don't get to be on the Canelo undercard, the Caleb Plant Canelo undercard. No, not on the card. I'm just very close to the card, close with Caleb. We grew up together, Obviously fight out of the same town. Actually, when I first started, Caleb Plant's dad was my first coach. You know, Caleb was probably 16 years old in the gym, and I started right there next to him about 9 or 10 years old.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know what? Let me just put it out there in the universe for you. Like, maybe you'll be on Plant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt I'm going to be on undercards like that. It's just a matter of time. I've been working on my career for a while now, and me and my promoter, Lou DiBella, have talked about those opportunities. So it's a matter of time for sure.
Tennessee has, in the last few years, brought out some unbelievable talent. Of course, you have Caleb Plant. You got the Howard brothers, so I don't know if you're real close with Ty Howard and his brother out there in Tennessee as well, but it seems like you guys, instead of competing with each other, you guys seem to be kind of close-knit group. Is that because basically you guys are small-town fighters living in smaller areas that you guys kind of have to stick together instead of having to compete with each other?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, guys out in Vegas, I feel like they have to just because there's so many guys. But here in Tennessee, you don't have those same opportunities. So we're all super tight-knit. I feel like we all root for each other to do well. And just being from Tennessee, the mentality of just, you know, Southern hospitality, close to each other, right? So always rooting all my guys and the Howard brothers. I was supposed to do some sparring with one of them. Obviously, one of them's a little bigger than I am, so I'm a top rank. And then you got guys like Austin Dulay, who have done a lot of PBC fights. Obviously, Caleb, who's about to have one of the biggest fights of the year.
Now, you have no choice right now but to jump into mainstream. You're now signed with one of the biggest names in boxing. Of course, it was the HBO head, now promoter, Lou DiBella. How did that come about, and how did you end up saying, okay, well, this guy right here is going to be the guy that's going to take me to the next level? How did that come about?
Yeah, definitely. We had talked to DiBella for a while, and I think when my 10th fight came around, and I fought somebody with a pretty good record on a Fight Pass show, and before that fight, he had called me. And I talked to him for a little bit. He said, just go in there, handle business. We want to work with you. As long as you get through tonight, we're going to sign you. And obviously, after some negotiations, we figured out some contract things. He just seemed like the best option to go with. We had a couple other people offering us some stuff. I'm not going to say who. But DiBella, like you said, is somebody who was one of the heads at HBO. He's been in boxing forever, had so many champions, and I feel like he can add me to that list.
Now, your nickname is Short Fuse. You seem like a nice enough guy. Where do you get that nickname from?
Well, when I do get in the ring, things change a little bit. I'm not sure that you've seen me fight yet, but when I do start fighting on some of these TV cards, you're going to see that come out. But it originally came about in my amateur career, having some of these amateur bouts or sparring. And anytime I got caught with a good punch, I just light up. And everybody within the audience and my coaches, they would always say, like, man, you don't need to have such a short fuse, sit back and box. When that, you know, that fuse gets lit, you kind of go in there and go with it. But that's something I've been working on, is controlling that. I call it a controlled aggression now, because boxing is dangerous. Yeah. Going there hot all the time.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I do have an older brother who used to box with me as well. We both did very well in our amateur careers. And then I've got a younger sister, too.
So you're the middle kid. Maybe that's where it comes from. Okay.
Everybody always says middle child syndrome, and I definitely feel like I own that.
Yeah, I'm familiar. You know, Ralphie mentioned something about his amateur career, and you've seen this quite a lot, where you get an amateur and then who has some promise, and then all of a sudden a manager promoter wants to like catapult him to the next level as quickly as possible. How are you handling developing your career, Ty, as a boxer? I know everybody wants to be seen and get paid, but most importantly, we want you to be durable and be able to have a career that reflects how long you want to be in the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. You do see some of these guys with a lot of talent, like you said, getting catapulted and taking some fights too early, right? Obviously, my third or fourth fight, I was already fighting above 500 guys that could fight. That's something you have to balance, the matchmaking of it all. But that was one of my signing points with Lou DiBella, is he understood where I was in my career. I'm a young guy with a lot of potential. So he wants to move us at the right speed. I'm fighting the right guys, better competition every time. My last guy I fought had, I think, 27 wins. So coming in with 11 at the time, that was a really good win for me. And just continuing to grow that, you know, climbing that ladder. And Lou DiBella is going to put me in the right place. I know that.
How old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm about to turn 22, though. I'm about to turn 22 on November 2nd.
Man, I wish I could go back and be 21 again. Yeah. I do a whole lot of things different. But I'm going to tell you what you're doing right, though, and that what I like is that myself in my announcing career, I don't have an agent, or I don't have this marketing company to push me forward and get me in front of every Instagram post. But I went through your profile, and you remind me a lot of myself, because you have like some cool ass 4K videos of your fights. I mean, you got it. I don't know who's doing your work, but keep it up, bro, because nice. Man, that is good shit. I was like, man, these videos are great. You know, you have to do these kind of things in order for people to see you. And for me, like I was telling Cece, a lot of people really were getting upset, like, oh, you post too much. But there isn't such a thing, man. You have to put yourself out there. Huh. This is the way to be seen. You're becoming not only in the boxing industry, but you're talking to elementary kids, which I love, because I like to do the same. I'm just like, man, this kid has got it. You have it, because there's people that have been in the boxing game for 20 years that haven't set foot in the elementary school. And I'm not calling or blasting out anybody, but you get it, man. This is not just about you. It is about your whole community, and you're bringing everybody with you. So props to you on that, man. That's really dope.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. Any platform I get, no matter how big or small, I'm going to continue to grow it and use it for positive change. You know, you can get in these elementary schools and talk to some of these kids, and you know, you can really help them no matter what you're talking about, whether you're just talking to them about things like leadership and working hard, or a campaign that I've recently started with the local police department, which is we're doing a fight against drugs thing, just because my area's had a problem with that, and I actually had a close family member pass away from an overdose. So I go in these schools, I want to talk to kids about addiction, things like that, just bring awareness to it, and kind of break the stigma that, you know, only bad people get into drugs. You know, there's so many great people that are affected by things like that. And anytime I can use my platform for positive change, I'm going to do it.
How do you avoid falling into the pitfalls? I mean, I looked up what's happening in your hometown, and you got an issue for certain. And it's, you know, younger kids who ain't got nothing to do.
Yeah, like you said, there's nothing to do, you know. Everybody's just hanging out, going to parties, and they put themselves in some bad situations. I, of course, attribute a lot of that to boxing. When I was growing up, being an amateur boxer, you still got to stay in the gym all the time just like a pro. There's some at the highest level, you're probably in national tournaments. You're just like a pro at that point. So that kept out a lot of those situations. I was fortunate enough to have a very good family life who helped that as well. But not everybody has that. So if I can go in and possibly make a difference to even one of these kids, it's worth it all.
When you see Caleb and Canelo face to face and pushing each other and slapping each other, and, you know, you got to, you know, this is your buddy there, right? Like, you know, and as a fighter, you're like, and as a friend, you're like, you're not going to mess with my friend, right? So obviously that kind of gets you going, man. And you know, The crazy thing about that is even us, as we work on the other side of the sport, we too get attached to our fighters, especially when we bring them on here, Ty, you know, like the Tito Lopez's of the world. Like, you know, we bring these guys in and we see what you guys are doing, and we're really appreciated, because without you, there is no us. We can't cover you guys. And, you know, I just want to commend you. Like I said, I'm looking at your profile, and you just do things that a 12-0 fighter really – they don't really do it. Even 30-0 fighters just don't really do things to compliment themselves and to gather everybody around and say, you know what, I'm going here, I'm taking you all under my wing, and I'm taking you with me. And that's something that I got to tell you, keep it up as you go higher in this career, because my brother, the higher you get, the more people are going to pull at you, right? Like for Caleb, this is his biggest stage, and unfortunately that happened. And maybe it helped the fight. I mean, who knows? But at the end of the day, it's still something that, you know, we wish really didn't go down like that, because now Caleb's got cut and now he's got to worry about that situation. But how did you feel, man, when that happened? Like, what was your instinct? Like, hey, that's my friend. Like, let me get after these guys. Or like, what was your thoughts going through that? Like, shit, I'm going to be there in a couple of years. Would I handle it differently? What would I have done there? I mean, does that go through your mind at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You get super fired up seeing something like that. And even just to the fight, you get fired up. When you're personally connected to somebody like that, it's a whole different ball game. And you do, you kind of think, you know, we're close. We've trained together. I was just recently out in Vegas seeing them. We kind of talked about the fight, and he gave me some great pointers. So seeing all of that go down, not only do I get fired up, but, man, I'm like, what do I do in that situation in a couple of years? Because I'm going to be right there with them. And, I don't know if I'm going to swing on him. Man, I might want to. I have to wait for anybody to lay their hands on
him. Oh, yeah.
Like I've said before, you know my nickname.
Short fuse.
I don't know what's going to happen. But I think it's going to be a great fight. And who knows, maybe that got into Canelo's head, right? Because everybody respects Canelo to the highest level. And I don't think Caleb does that. So I might have to fight, actually.
Yeah, Caleb certainly does not have that same level of respect, but it might come in the ring. We'll see what happened in there. Who's in your corner? What's your support system look like?
Yeah, I've got my father in my corner. I feel like we're going to be another one of those successful father-son duos that you see in boxing right now. I've also got a guy out of Tampa, Florida named Peter Fernandez, who has helped multiple champions get to the highest level, and now he's in my camp too. So he's a great addition. And when we signed with Lou DeBella, he kind of came along and helped with some of those negotiations as well.
You're signed with Lou, who right now has a big headache on his hands with the Teofimo Lopez and Kambosos fight. You know, he is the promoter of Kambosos, and it's a hot mess. This is your division, though. How closely are you paying attention to what's happening there? And what do you think is going to be the outcome of that fight?
Oh, yeah, anybody in my division, I'm watching every single one of those fights because those are the kind of fights I'm going to be in one day. Obviously, I'm going to support my DiBella guy. I'm going to wish the best for him and hope he goes in there and wins. But I just feel like Teofimo is probably one of the best in our division right now. He is good at so many different things. So I feel like Teofimo, he's going to test him at some point, you know. He's going to land a good shot. And depending on how Kambosos comes back from that shot is going to be how that fight goes. I think Kambosos can win a decision. I don't think he's going to get Teofimo out of there. But that's kind of my back and forth. Is Teofimo going to catch him and hurt him and get him out of there? Or is Kambosos going to box him to a decision win?
You're all of a sudden having to deal with things you never had to deal with before. You know, you got publicists now. You've got a promoter who's basically, you say, Lou DiBella and the whole boxing world. It knows exactly who you're talking about. What has been the biggest difference for you having to change your mindset and your lifestyle? Like, okay, this is the real deal now. Like, this is, I can't really just blow my training off. I can't just eat whatever I want now and just eat a dozen Krispy Kreme. I mean, you probably can because you're 21. You can probably burn it off in an hour, right? I look at a donut, I'm gaining 9 pounds in my 40s. But what has been the biggest change for you? Like, okay, this is was not like this, but now I have to understand that I must live this way. What's been the biggest change and challenge for you?
Yeah, I don't think it is something that just happened when I started getting all these different things. This is something that's happened since I first went pro because I've always treated myself like you're going to be in these championship fights. You better start now, right? So ever since I went pro, I've been where I never missed a weigh-in, even dating back to my amateur career. I'm always in shape every fight. I'm in shape year-round just because I talk about Caleb like that all the time too. Man, it's around here. We stay in the gym all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm progressively getting better at the fight. But all the new things that came, I just felt like I was ready for them just because I'd been preparing myself for that since day one.
Yeah, Caleb is probably on weight right now.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sure. He's ready.
He definitely likes before, he's good. But yeah, he's always in shape. He's ready to go.
Before we let you go, I'll close by saying this is that, you know, again, I'm going to reiterate, we love having people on this show who appreciate what they're doing, who appreciate the opportunities they've been given, who want to give back, who just are not selfish and they're just give all of themselves. And it seems like you are on the right track. You're making good decisions, and I really am going to be really now more than ever, not only because, you know, your publicist, we know these guys, and we know your manager and your promoter now. We know these guys personally, but now, you know, now that you've been on our show, you're like, you're going to be our family now. So keep on doing what you're doing, and we'll bring you back periodically after these fights, have you on again, and, you know, and then as the wins come on, these straps come on, you can bring them on. Show them off here to everybody, but we wish you the best. And from me to you, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving back to the kids. It's important because all it takes is one kid to pull him off the streets of Tennessee, man, and not do drugs and to follow in your footsteps. And maybe he doesn't make it to a world champion or doesn't make it to 12-0, but at least he's in there learning a different discipline and he's able to make the decisions outside of that gym and the right decisions to live a long life. So for me to you, thank you for coming. And we're definitely going to be looking out for you and we'll bring you back. And I'll let you.
Heck yeah. Gang, gang. It's gang, gang now, right? They messing with you. They mess with us.
That's right.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. Y'all right here, family with me too. And I just chatting it up with y'all.
So let's set, I want you to set some expectations for yourself. What's next? And what is the ultimate goal?
Ultimate goal is to win all the titles. I have somebody ask me one time, like, man, which belt do you want? I looked at him, I said, all of them. You know, he's like, oh, which division do you want to get in which belt? I want to win my first one, but yeah, I want all of them. I want to be an undisputed champ. I feel like that's the end goal for sure. But next for me, I'm obviously looking to get to 13-0 first. That's my next goal. I don't know when that's going to be necessarily. We've obviously talked with Lou, tried to figure that out. Maybe by the end of the year, early January, we can get back in there. I'm going to be training. I'm going to be in shape, just waiting for that call.
Do you have a day job?
I currently work with my dad just because he's my trainer. It's easy to schedule everything. We get done working. He owns his own business and does fleet repair work. So if we get an early day off, get right in the gym and get to work.
Well, that's the best way to do it. Please let people know where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, you can check out my Instagram and my Twitter. They're both at underscore Ty Tomlin. And then check out my athlete page on Facebook. Go give a like. Like you said, we've got all those videos on there. And a huge shout out to Shot Media, who does all those videos, a good friend of mine.
Hey, they are 4K 30 frames a second. I mean, they are top level shout. Like, man, this kid knows what's going on. Like, you know, sometimes they'll put a stream from their mom's iPhone 6 and they'll be happy with it. No, man, you guys went full fledged.
Hey, we're going to do it up right, yeah.
Woo wee! I saw the first video, I was like, oh man.
I'm self-promoting myself like I'm a champ, you know? To be the man, you gotta like, so it's a matter of time.
That's right,
baby. Appreciate you. Tyler, Short Fuse Tomlin, keep an ear out for him. Go check out his social media, see what this man is about. Undefeated in a lightweight division. We're gonna be hearing about you. Thank you so much.
We're gonna pop up on you in one of your fights.
Yeah, we'll pop up.
You're gonna look over your shoulder, we're gonna be right there.
But do a live interview then for sure.
Oh yeah, we'll be there for sure. We can bet that.
You can bet Tyler, what's up, boy? All right, take care. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Bye now.
Stay safe. Man, I like him. I like him. Yeah. You know, the cool thing about that is that, you know, when you start, the problem with any young fighter, and, you know, and I've seen a lot of it because we've been around them for many years, is that once they get to a certain win mark, right? Like it's, oh, I'm 10-0.
I'm this.
Oh, it's time for me to resign. I'm 10-0. All of a sudden, it's like I'm a fucking different person. I'll need this, and I want this, and I want to be the main event here. No, man. No, because you know what? There's a lot of work to be done. And sometimes you might bite off more than you can chew, and it might backfire on you. And this kid obviously understands. Say what you want. Debella Entertainment has been working with the biggest people in the industry. And if anybody can navigate and get him where he needs to be, Lou can do it. I mean, Lou has the UFC Fight Pass at his disposal. He's worked with a couple other promoters on that platform. And believe it or not, that platform is popular.
Oh, and it's got a ton of content on there, and it's really economical, people. And that's where a lot of people are introduced to fighters.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so he's in really good hands.
Hopefully, Short Fuse will be moving up and down. And the cool thing is with him is that, like, you know, like he ride, like, you know, the problem with some of these states is that they don't really ride with each other, man. There's a battle within the state, right? Like, the Howard.
SoCal.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to get you, and you from that east side of Nashville. No, it's like, hey, we need to stick together. We need to work with each other. We need to spar with each other, stay in the same camp, support each other, and look what's happening. So, I mean, shouts out
to you. Yeah. Listen, look what's happening next week. We looks like Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder are going to fight.
That's right.
Barring anything crazy. The Grand Arrivals are supposed to be Tuesday. One of the things that I did notice in the media schedule is that the press conference and the weigh-ins are not open to the public. So it's only the Grand Arrival that's actually open to the public. I don't know what to make of that. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I think they did that as well for the Pacquiao fight, where the Grand Arrivals were outside. So look for Grand Arrivals to be outside. And it'll probably be a joint with Chinook and Flores handling that. And then you've got the weigh-ins and press conference were not available to the public. The Ugas Pacquiao was closed off and media only. Right. And it was inside the MGM Grand. So like, you know, it was crazy. So maybe they're going that route again, just to kind of save Well, I don't know what they'd be saving, honestly, because the mask mandate right now has changed. Well, they're changing every single day, right? They're changing every day out there. And unfortunately, we keep having this issue because, again, we're not all on the same page as far as what we need to handle.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it out loud. You go get fucking pricked so that everybody can walk into an arena and enjoy some workouts and a weigh-in. Like, you can't. You're going to bitch and complain about this stuff, but yeah, you're not doing your part. So that's, and as long as this continues, CC, we're going to be looking from the outside in.
Oh, always.
On a TV or on the computer, wishing we were there, but not being able to. I mean, think about it. How cool that weigh-in would have been to be there in Bronx, you know.
It was so, it's such a huge space.
I'm going to kill you to this day. Oh, it's going to be, man, I don't know.
It's going to be wild. You know, somebody's going to get caught with some ring rust. And I don't know which fighter it's going to be. Is it Deontay Wilder because he's overtrained? Is it Tyson Fury because he's had a lot of personal things happening and he's had to be in and out of the country? He's had a lot of stress with his daughter being born with illness and, you know, trying to be there for his wife. So we'll see what's going to happen. What first time you get hit in the face, it's going to wake a lot of people up. I'm curious to see what Deontay is going to wear to the on his ring walk, though.
Wow, today he just said he's coming crazy. But if you're going to come crazy again looking like the Predator, you need to not use that as an excuse for your legs. I don't want to. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to say that. Before you do the ring walk.
I don't want to say that out loud, but I mean, I made the best man win. I'm neither here nor there on who's going to win this fight. But man, you can't. If you're going to come correct again with the whole armor and the red eyes and all this craziness, you can't use that as an excuse, bro. You picked it. Like, that's your Halloween costume. Like, that's your shit. Stick with it.
Well, listen, you can do it, but you're going to have to, like, deal with the consequences. So, speaking of consequences, what are the consequences of Usyk beating Anthony Joshua? I mean, he just destroyed an enormous bag for Tyson Fury. That's the first thing. Does that fight ever happen now?
No. That fight's never. Not going to happen. No, because what will happen is they'll have the rematch, which – Joshua just said today that he really wants it. That's fine. But you got to be careful with what you ask for, because I think it ends in a knockout the next time, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that Usyk didn't want to take chances. He was kind of still being a little timid. But I think this next go round, Joshua is going to have the case of the ips, man. Like, he literally was like, I still think that, and you know, the Andy Ruiz thing, it changed the way this guy fights. You know, once this guy gets clipped, he's like already bobbled from like a jab. I don't understand how in some of these fights that happens to him, where he literally gets hit with a stiff jab and he starts to wobble. Like, I don't know, he can make an adjustment.
I mean, but making an adjustment to Usyk is different than making an adjustment to Ruiz. Ruiz came in at 300 pounds, and you can run that guy all around the ring, but Usyk is such a superior boxer. Like, you're going to have to, like, see about him. I found it. Oh, your camera went off.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So I agree with you that we see the same outcome. I just don't know how Usyk gets it done, but there are so many different ways that we saw he can beat him now. But man, Tyson Fury got to be hot as fish grease.
Yeah, I just think that honestly, and I'm looking for my computer cord right here. I honestly think like Joshua can, and I'm gonna say this with a grain of salt, if he comes and fires directly and counters like he can't. See, here's the thing. He was being countered the whole time, right? And got stuck. Now he's going to have to reverse that. He's going to have to be the counterpuncher in this fight. And he's going to have to try something totally different, because the way he fought the other night, it's just not going to work. Usyk made me tired, and I'm sitting on my couch eating my chips like, dang, boy, making me tired.
Like 10 o'clock in the morning going through all that. You know, and Tyson Fury is a better boxer than Usyk is.
Hey, viva dad bods. You know what? Like, I can't bet against Fury anymore because every time Dad Bod shows up, like he just whoops him ass. Right? That's like your uncle that show up at the pool and you're like, damn, yeah. boy, like that's yeah. your uncle right there. You put your shirt. But he, hey, he just shows up and handles business and mm-hmm. it's going to be good. Like, okay. So you've seen the videos with him and Malik Scott and Deontay doing all this crazy, you know, 8-punch combinations. But when you start training somebody to teach them how to box, that's what they look like when they
do 30-something years old.
What happened there? Like Malik Scott swears that Wilder's gonna knock him out. And hey, you have to be like that, right? You have to.
He's already done it.
Yes. What do you think? What do you think is gonna happen? I didn't ask you that yet.
I think that it's the same result as Fury Wilder too. I really do believe that Tyson Fury is the best boxing heavyweight in the world. And I don't think you learn how to box at that level at the age of 30, whatever it is, for Deontay
Wilder. It's very difficult, right? It's very difficult. And another thing is that, you know, when you, it's almost like it's different than baseball. In baseball, mm-hmm. it's hard to beat a team 3 days in a row, right? They say, okay, never bet on a baseball team to sweep because it's almost difficult. But in this situation, it's different because, like, there's so many mind games that's being played, right? Like, you know, right. Fury in the first two fights was not as confident in the shit-talking. Like, this is like – and it may backfire. Hey, it may backfire, but I'm telling you – like, I spoke to Kenny Bayless the other day about it. I said, Kenny, you know you're going to be anywhere near that.
Does he have that fight? Who's got the fight?
Well, absolutely not. They will not let him get anywhere near that fight because he got the blame as well. Remember. That was the outfit, and then it was the trainer, and then it was the water.
Oh, right.
Yeah, remember, he was in that circle of reasons why.
So who gets it? Jack Reese?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe Russell Moore. Russell Moore actually is becoming, like, the go-to guy here in this last 12 months. Mm-hmm. As far as these guys are concerned, but I asked him, I said, hey, what do you think? He's like, you know, he's like, I'm in there and I'm doing my job. He's like, but it right away, it looked like Fury was just being the bully, you know? And
and
the thing of it is that if this happens again,
does Wilder respond in a composed way?
Exactly. Like, or does he get frustrated and then end up getting clipped? And then, so let me throw this at you, right? So say Fury ends up winning again. Where does that leave Wilder, right? Like, where does that leave him now as far as, like, what are you going to do with your career? Are you done?
He fights Anthony Joshua. That's what I think happens.
Let me ask you about Anthony Joshua then.
The rematch, right? He's got the rematch with Usyk.
Yes.
So that's, you know, there. And Usyk has said he ain't trying to fight nobody no time soon. He's going home to chill for a bit, and he ain't thinking about no rematch.
Hey, he got pretty bad too, though. I mean, he had like some nasty cuts.
He definitely got touched, but that heavyweight division ain't that deep. When you have Ortiz still in like the top six, it ain't that deep. I mean, and
you know what's crazy, man? I really like Ortiz too. I think I really, you know, he had a Wilder hurt too, like. There was a point I was actually at that fight where I'm like, holy shit, Ortiz
can't knock get it off.
And he got caught. He got caught.
He couldn't get it off. But also, I was thinking at the end of that fight about how tough Michael Hunter was for Usyk. And like, we got to start talking about Michael Hunter.
Hey, Michael Hunter already put out a post. He put out a post already like, hey, what's up now? Like, what's up with me now? I'm ready to fight Usyk. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah, he's not getting that fight no time soon. But hey, maybe he fights Deontay Wilder. I mean, 30 years old. I think he just turned 30. Young, undersized at heavyweight, and looks on paper to be less of a risk for someone like Deontay Wilder or even Tyson Fury, whoever comes out on the short end. But I still think no matter what, they're going to try to make that Fury Anthony Joshua fight somehow, some way.
I'll tell you what, and let's be realistic here. If that fight happens, you could put that in a 120,000 seat stadium and it'll sell out in one day, regardless of the record.
They're going to put that in Wembley.
You know, you got to understand that now this really sucks for Hearn. Sorry, guys, I'm trying to plug in my computer. It sucks
what
for
is
Hearn.
What are you doing?
No, because I thought I had it completely charged and I realized that I'm not. And this thing is telling me, boy, you better plug this shit in or else it's going to cut off on you. So I'm over here trying to do this on a slick way. But for Hearn, I mean, think about this shit. Like, how does that suck for you that you sign this guy and you make a big deal, lifetime contract? And
Madison Square Garden.
Okay, well, I mean, now what? Now what you going to do, boy? Because now, how are you going to be able to, like, just think about it. In the Klitschko fight, he almost got knocked out. Klitschko hadn't knocked anybody out in like 28 years prior to that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Andy Ruiz puts you on your ass, okay? And even in the second fight, Andy Ruiz hurt him not so much as before, but he did have moments where he was getting tagged. Now this Usyk almost knocks you out or almost TKOs you. Like, I mean, Ortiz, even at this age, if he nails Joshua with one of those big right, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be hitting you hard and heavyweight. Everybody.
I agree. So, listen, it's going to be a wild 2-3 years. You know, you got Usyk as this little pit bull who has come on the scene and, you know, dressing like the Joker and, you know, dancing on his Instagram posts. As a matter of fact, that song was so dope and that post was so dope that I reposted it and I downloaded the song and I'm in the gym, like, you know, I'm giving odes to Usyk now because that song was so dope. But, like, who would have thought, man, that in the middle rounds, I was like, oh, shit, it's changing now. The tide's changing. Now Joshua's going to take over here. But Usyk, like, would not give up and he just didn't. He didn't stop, you know, he didn't stop. And I do have to say something. My man, Roy Jones, you know, Roy, come on, dog. I love this dude. He's a friend of mine. But I mean, I know he was trying to, like, make it to where both fighters seemed like they were still in the fight. And, you know, like, Joshua get hit and, oh, good hand.
Oh, he's coming back.
Good right hand by Joshua. What you mean, boy? He got hit with a two-piece. It was real weird. It was real weird what was going on. The other night.
When he gets something right, it is so dead on. He's either so Ray left or he nails it. It's so, like, that's why you watch anything that Roy Jones is doing, because it's entertaining.
But did you miss him? I thought, as a matter of fact, my boy Todd Grisham, I was very happy for him, because I'm gonna be honest with you, I think that was the best fight he's ever called. I think he was in his moment.
I think he was
having fun. And I text him afterwards. I was like, bro, you did a really good job. Very, very proud of you.
Yeah. Todd did a great job. Only problem I have with DAZN is they be overproducing stuff, man. It's like between the co-main and the main, we don't need a 40-minute like production piece. Like, we already have the interviews done. Get these fools in. But they can produce some ring walks, man. They definitely can produce some ring walks. When it's there, it looks great.
Hey, those Euro ring walks are unbelievable. That's why, you know, these American promoters, I get it. You don't want to spend the 50 grand for that shit. I get it, because look what happened. You did all that, and then your fighter ends up losing. But, I mean, that shit is dope with the fire and the Klitschko started all that with K2. I mean, those guys were walking out like a Hall of Fame. They had all their pictures on the, you know, LED screens everywhere. I'm like, man, you know, they do it right over there.
It is dope. They have an interesting undercard. Look, when you pay Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, there's not a whole lot of money left. But there's some notable heavyweights. F.A. Ajakpa, we haven't seen him in a while. And Frank Sanchez is on there. Adam Kawanaki is on there. Jared Anderson, who Top Rank loves, is coming back. And
yeah, he knocked out my boy on from Phoenix.
And who's that? Who am I?
That's Anderson. Ajakpa,
yeah. But Edgar Berlanga is on that card.
Yeah.
As well. They love Berlanga. He did have to go back to his stool the last fight, so he got some rounds in. He wasn't a KO in the first round. I think that was good for him. They are also, Top Rank is putting on, Top Rank is putting on a fight that Michaela Mayer is headlining. And I really felt like they did her a real disservice by doing that. I believe it's the Friday before, not Stevenson. Who's in Vegas? Porter and Terrence Crawford. Put her on that card. Put her on the card as the co-main. Like, you know, who's coming? Think about what Vegas has got going on. You've got Fury Wilder, and then Canelo and Plant. And we also have Porter and Crawford.
And then we're going like, to have Then you have Brandon Figueroa and Steve Fulton. Like, you've got – there's a bunch of stuff going on. And Michaela Mayer, yes. She – God. It's – you know what? We always have this conversation about this, right? So check this out. So I think and they were bashing the shit out of her today for doing it. But Amanda Serrano took matters into her own hands and signed with Jake Paul's company, right? So, like, in other words, the Michaela Mayers of the world, unfortunately, you kind of have to sit back and you're at the mercy of your promoter, which, you know, without top
rank. Well, she's all they got, right? She is, like, their top girl. So I think she gets a lot more support from her promoter, probably right. more than anybody, because they decided to rock with her. But I'm like, why are you going to be fighting for ticket sales in between those fights? Let her co-main on the Porter Crawford card. I mean,
well, remember when they do these cards with PBC and Top Rank, these guys are negotiating for those slots, yeah. right? Like, yeah. it's hard because it's like, you know, me working with these guys, like, I don't even know how they sit down and do it. Apparently, it's easy that they never had any problems. But, like, who gets what, right? Like, okay, who's getting this first opening pay-per-view fight? Who's getting the second one? Like, and honestly, if you have a – is Berlanga on the pay-per-view or no?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, so for Top Rank to be able to put this one-hitter quitter on there to let everybody see him, if you haven't been watching ESPN, how can you not watch this kid? But, I mean, think about it. If you're sitting there, and I hate to say it because it's wrong, but – if you have Michaela Mayer and Edgar Berlanga and you're like, okay, I can probably make close to $500 million when I'm done with this kid before he retires. And with Michaela, I'm basically at a ceiling because, to be honest with you, like, I go back and look at the fighter that Mayweather signed for a long time. So she's a 7-division world champ, right? And I looked at her record and she fought the same person like 3 different times. Like, there was 4 or 5 girls that she had to fight multiple times because there are just not that many opponents out there for these yeah. girls. So it sucks right. for them. You know, where the UFC, your area, the UFC, yeah. shit, they're thriving. Like, they're main eventing, you know, and they're
selling. Well, it's an international audience, right? They're getting women from all over the world, and that's constantly refreshing the pool.
Right, right.
You know, so... hey, it's going to be an interesting fight week. It's a big one. Anytime the big boys get in there, we definitely want to see what's going on. I will be there at some of the events. I'm not going to get out to everything next week, but I'll be there for the press conference for show and nice. Fight night for show. And then probably yeah. that one more thing other than
well, that. Oh, Mike is Mike got the press card on that one. He's going to be doing that one. So. It's my son's 24th birthday, so we're going to set up a fight party. And I actually, to be honest with you, check this out. So if you're going to go back and watch this, the tickets right now, like no joke, you can get into the building for $204 on access.com. Like $204. If you want to watch a heavyweight championship match and you're going to go pay close circuit $100 or you're going to pay me for $80, shit, you might as well pay the extra $100 and be there in person, man. Like, dang. You know just as well as I do, when those big boys fight, like, and they're roaring and every punch.
It's epic. Plus,
and plus, too, Mandalay Bay is a lot smaller than any other arena in Vegas. I mean, your second deck is still a good seat. There's only 6 or 7 rows up there. So if you can get out there, check it out.
Well, it's at MGM, though, isn't it?
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is MGM. The Crawford one is at the Mandalay Bay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. At Crawford right now, pre-sale going on right now. $100 to get in to watch that fight. $100.
Hey, for me, that's the best fight of the rest of the year. It's an important one. The other one that's very important, and we've been efforting to get him on Jamel Herring and Shakur Stevenson. Those are fights that really like are important and matter to the division. So, yeah, we'll be talking some more about it. But for right now, I'm Cassandra Cusino.
Wait a minute. Wait, stop. Before you leave.
What happened?
Gotta talk about Manny real quick before we leave, my dog.
You know what? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, do we wait and give him a whole yeah. like show? Let's just go ahead and tease it. Go ahead.
No. I just want to say real quick. We got something coming up for them next week. But I just wanted to say before we sign off that we got a special Pacquiao show coming up. I mean, we got to give this dude his whole show. Like, he gets a whole hour from us. But in reality, the news took over everything. This shit came out at 9 o'clock at night, which was over there. Like, it was good time for him, not realizing that everybody was half asleep here. And it still went crazy. Everyone, I mean, from the top rank to the PBC to people getting knocked out by Manny to people knocking Manny out. Everyone was like, yo, like, damn, this is crazy, right? So just from me to him, I mean, I got to work on his one of his cards and I got to, you know, meet him. He's a wonderful person. Congratulations, Manny, all that you've done. And like I said, we'll tease him up next week or we'll give him a whole hour worth of Manny-isms. Yeah. And we'll have some good folks on there. So
the Manny Pacquiao show coming to you on Levels next week. We'll get the promos up. Y'all will know. For right now, again, I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sports Nisa. And this is my partner in time, Ramblin' Ralph Velez. And check us out. We be in these streets.
We in the streets. Bye.